We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan.
Bears, 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 Bears. Football, football, football.
Mully, you have the greatest voice in radio.
You know what? I'd like to say you're wrong, Mully, but you're not wrong very often.
Mully, you are 1,000% correct.
Can we get a Mulligan, please?
David Haw.
That was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to get an answer just as good.
Oh, check me out, man.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning.
Morning, fellas. I got your back, Mully. I got your back, David.
The answer to the question is Lucas Giolito.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
All right, that's one. The over-under is 36. That thing is going to get
there
abused.
With his own sound, man.
That thing is going to get abused today, okay? I got shelled.
Hold on. I just got shelled.
This was about two
that's
things
two.
For you. This answer was about two things for you. Number one, you wanted to be the big guy and point to Brandon and say, use my sound, Brandon.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
And the other thing was you wanted to say, David, you are wrong.
Wow. Now you're right.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
What is wrong with Lucas Giolito?
Just got shelled.
Depends how often that Lucas Giolito is saying this after his next starts.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
Now you're doing it.
I had nothing to do with that one.
Now I'm pointing. Bad influence.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
Having to listen to this.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
Mully and Haw, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's all about the Bulls, baby. The Bulls brought in a new player. They did it. They made the big move.
Morning, Mully. Happy Friday.
Not so much.
Our goal today, is to bring as much energy to this show as Dalen Terry brought to his Zoom conference last night after becoming the latest Chicago Bull.
Yes.
Boy, that guy shot out of a cannon.
You knew it was going to be Dalen. We had talked about it yesterday.
Exactly.
We both picked him.
We broke down his history. We talked to his family. We prepared the...
No. Not so much.
Maybe not.
I got to tell you. Here's the thing, David. It is an underwhelming selection on the surface of it.
Right.
Now, you think about that Arizona team. That was a really good team and one of the best teams in the country for a very long time. And at one point, they lost their point guard. And it didn't seem to matter, right? And that kid, I can't tell you how many people I heard describe him as a glue guy. He's a glue guy. He does a lot of things, fills a lot of holes. He's not a superstar. We're looking at the Bulls and we're thinking, wow, what if they moved up and got Jaden Ivey? And instead, they got a guy that is a glue guy.
We wanted to see something about the outcome or the results to get excited about. This is something you have to trust the process.
That's exactly
right. This is something that when you look at the Bulls and with the way they're putting together, a team that they feel like can contend for the Eastern Conference championship, that they have steps along the way, and this is taking the next one. It isn't exciting. It isn't sexy. It isn't Rudy Gobert. I don't know, and we'll continue to talk about this, if a move like this, a draft pick this safe, perhaps precludes them from doing anything bigger or bolder until free agency arrives. But I do believe it fits into their character in that, when you look at Dalen Terry, he's a defensive-minded, versatile athlete who can defend multiple positions.
Yes.
He's not going to dazzle you with his shooting yet. He didn't even average in double figures in college.
Right.
So he comes here averaging 8 points a game for an elite program. I think Arizona could be considered an elite program in college basketball, right?
Well, they were last year.
And so Dalen Terry is one of those guys that is a product now, or you have to trust the process and believe in the Bulls' ability to scout, research, and know what they're looking for when they're bringing in a player to their organization.
The fact of the matter, and it's a fact, he's not even the best player on his college team.
He wasn't.
So I don't know if that matters to you or not. Now, he comes in, he's 19 years old. He is, was a sophomore. He played 2 years at Arizona. If he had come back for a third year at Arizona, who knows? Maybe he'd be a significantly higher thought of player. But he didn't break through yet, right? He did a lot of the glue things. He did a lot of things. He plays the game the right way.
He did what was asked.
Yes.
He's coachable.
Whatever was asked.
He's versatile.
Yes.
He's amenable. He's all the things that you want because you have a coach in Billy Donovan that has a track record now, and we trust that in Chicago, of getting the most and using out of his talent and using guys the way they should be used. And he's not unlike, in terms of a lot of the strengths that he brings, in terms of the intangibles, in terms of the defensive mindset, it's not unlike adding Io to the mix last year. Now, the expectations will be greater because he's a first-round pick. He was taken at 18, and you like the fact that he knows about the first 17 players taken in front of him. The intangibles are off the charts, Mully. But I do believe that, you know, we're not going to sit here and try to oversell it because I don't think that either one of us were overwhelmed. This is a pick that is in the name of embracing the continuity that AK said he wanted to embrace. This is about being the same kind of a team next year that you think the Bulls can be if they stand pat and they bring everybody back and make another run at it. I don't know if that's exciting, but it is consistent.
Yeah, I think it's that's a good way of looking at it. And I think it's a real simple equation. It's if you believe, as you say, in what AK is doing and what Mark Eversley is doing and what the Bulls are doing right now, then you're on board with this pick. Because it does go hand in hand with the way that they approach the game of basketball. If you are instead aching to be a Detroit Pistons fan this morning, I understand that too.
They won the draft?
They won the draft, and they won the draft. They might have won it last year. You know, Cade Cunningham is a seriously good player who got better as the year went on, and now they add a couple guys. They add a very explosive player. That backcourt suddenly looks like it's going to be something special moving forward. And then they got a center. While you're at it, let's go ahead and do this. I think that, you know, to take the pick they got for Grant and to turn it around in the way they did was really very impressive. They won the draft.
Yeah, I think that's the reaction you have immediately because we kind of kidded coming in here this morning. If you're a Bulls fan, you don't wake up this morning and say, where's the number for season tickets? I have to get on the phone right away.
Right.
But that is the feeling you have, I think, in Detroit.
Yes.
That is the
yes.
way the draft affected you if you are a follower of the Pistons. And frankly, if you are a Bulls fan, if you are the Chicago Bulls organization, you stand up and take a little closer notice at what is going on in Detroit because they got better.
Yeah.
And Jaden Ivey with Cunningham and you know, Jalen Duren and the way that they are putting together that roster full of talent is something that is demanding your attention.
No question about it. I mean, that looks like a team that is going to be good.
For a while.
You know what they look like? They look like they could be en route to a Boston Celtics type showdown, right?
I think that's what they're trying to duplicate, it seems.
Yeah.
Just compile as much two-way talent as possible, get the right coach, get the right fit, and try to make a run at it that way. Different methods to try to approach making a run for the championship in the East because it also underscores it's there for the taking.
Yes, it is. I think that's fair. I like what they did. I don't know anyone that wouldn't like it. But I do – I think it's interesting to look around the league, and when you are evaluating the Bulls, you got to put them into the context of, I suppose, the first part of last season as opposed to the second part of last season. You know, the reality, David, whether we want to accept it or not, is they're just not good enough. That team, you know, one of the reasons that we talked yesterday about change and hoping for change is the belief that that team is not going to be able to max out. Now, the question would be if Lonzo Ball had been healthy all year, if the injury bug hadn't bitten everyone, and we don't know what his status is, and we'll be monitoring that moving forward. But if that early season Bulls team that was on top of the East and had all that energy and was able to run the floor and play defense at guard position, if you have that team and you add this guy to that team, maybe you can see where the energy is coming from, where the glue factor fits in. But I don't know that we saw that team after the All-Star break.
That's a really good observation. And I also think it feels not as impactful as maybe some other picks or other moves that we thought they might make that would be, because it sort of reinforces a strength on your team already when everybody's healthy. We went into this draft thinking the Bulls needed two things and two high priorities, a rim protector and a shooter. This guy's neither. And that doesn't make it a bad pick. It just means this doesn't address either of your pressing priorities, because he comes in and he is a duplicate to Isle. It's a different player.
Taller.
Different program. He's taller.
But might be also a better defender.
But he's not going to be a double-digit scorer immediately. He's not going to be a three-point guy that spaces the floor. He is going to be a guy that injects some energy into every game, and he is a defensive stopper if he's playing up to his capabilities. Point is that you just reinforced a strength in your backcourt, because with Caruso and Ball and Io and now Terry, you have a backcourt, you have defenders that are going to...
If you have all those guys.
Well, that's the big if.
That's a big problem.
And that's what that's one of the things we need to continue to look at and talk to KC about, talk to Will Perdue about. What does this say about their confidence or lack thereof in Lonzo Ball's availability?
It's a huge question. It's the one that's hanging over the offseason. I mean, look, you know, the 30th, right? So what is today? The 26th? The
24th. June 24th.
Okay, so 6 days from now, free agency opens. Presumably, the Bulls' big move will be bringing back their team and Moss, and they do that by giving a big contract to Zach LaVine, the 5-year deal, the max deal. And Mark Eversley said he's looking forward to talking to Zach and to Rich Paul and to getting that done. I mean, he seemed like a guy that was going to do that. The Bulls organization seems like that's the road they're taking.
I don't think there's any question.
And I don't think anybody doubted that.
Right.
So doesn't that mean that you've decided to stay the same, you've decided to vote for continuity, and you want to add to that continuity? And again, you still haven't gotten Zach LaVine back, which is probably just a little hurdle. It's nothing serious, a speed bump. But Lonzo Ball, giant question mark there. And look at the history. That's not a guy that plays a ton of games.
Lonzo Ball is the biggest question mark now, because I think that whether or not they went big last night, they went bold last night, or they went safe last night, as they turned out to do, I think that Zach LaVine coming back was almost a foregone conclusion, only based on the rhetoric that has been consistent from Michael Reinsdorf last winter to Mark Eversley last night. You know, this was going to be, whether they were going to run everybody back or not, I think is still, I don't know 100% if this says that, Mully. I don't know if this means that this, does this move, drafting Dalen Terry where they did at 18, ignoring some of the other more pressing needs, does this preclude them from making a big, bold move for Rudy Gobert or somebody else? I probably, but yeah. But I don't know if definitely.
I just, you know what, David? It's not a wow move. That's why we're sitting here this morning picking it apart. I trust what those guys are doing. They've done a really good job of making this team better in short order. But they have given up a lot of picks and a lot of money to do so, and they're going to continue to do that. The question then becomes, you know, does this group, does this team, can they win in a half-court game? Can they win in the playoffs? Can they defend Joel Embiid? Can they defend Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Right now, no. And
that is the, you know, that's the problem. This kid, what he does, he's, you know what he is? He's not a D in three, which everybody loves. He's a D. Maybe learn a three.
Maybe, but there's no guarantee that he will. And that's what makes this fascinating, is that we talked about yesterday and we kidded, would we come in here this morning and know about the direction of the Bulls? And right now you come in this morning and you feel like there's not a whole lot of difference about the direction of the Bulls after the draft than there was before the draft, because you know that they have the same sort of approach. And this is a front office that we are still getting to know and still getting to understand a little bit better, because they keep so much close to the vest. So we're trying to pick up clues along the way. This is not a big one, I think. This is a very subtle but significant move. This is adding to depth, but it isn't one of those things where...
It's not franchise-altering.
It's not obviously that. It's not obviously franchise-altering, no.
Here's the problem, and it's something to always remember when you're talking about the NBA. Five-man game, one man can dominate a five-man game. And it happens. And it happened for the Bulls with DeMar DeRozan last year. Hopefully in the future, Zach LaVine can do that more than he managed to do it last year, because he too was injured. I just don't – like Jaden Ivey, when we talk about the draft and we look at different players, Jaden Ivey's got a chance to be that guy. In fact, he might be that guy. He looks – like Ja Morant.
I think he could end up being the best player in this draft.
Yeah.
And that's not exactly going out on a limb. Other people have said that. But when you see the way this league is headed and the other players that were drafted, and there's some great players that went. That takes nothing away from your guy, Chet Holmgren. But I think that Jaden Ivey is somebody that you go and you project with that team, the way they're going to grow and the way he's going to have other players and talent around him. He's not going to have the burden, the pressure to be a singular force. He's going to have other talented players. And in that context, I think you're going to see him emerge as maybe the most talented of those players. And he's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really good. And, you know, Cade Cunningham's got that possibility.
He does.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why the Celtics thing jumps to mind, because you could have two guys there. You don't even know which one can they play together. They're going to have all these little questions. But if they stay with it, I think that's going to be a hell of a backcourt.
And if they don't let Kemba Walker ruin it by taking 35 shots a game.
You know what? I mean, he
could help him, though.
Yeah. I mean, let him do that early on and then get better. Hopefully the Bulls play him early, beat him while Kemba's trying to control everything, and then you move on. That was just that's an expiring contract.
Yeah, that was a money dump. And I think it created a little bit of drama during the draft, because Jaden Ivey goes, you see the hug with his mom, and that was a special moment.
Yes, it was great.
For the broadcast. And then Detroit, you see in social media the reactions from Pistons fans, from Pistons media. Then all of a sudden it's like, okay, the Knicks are still trying to get Jaden Ivey to New York. The Knicks have not given up, and there's a lot of the New York media. And then you saw the moment that Spike Lee and Jaden Ivey had, and they hugged, and they did that. Had that exchange. But I'm glad for his sake, for his family's sake, that he's staying in Detroit. I know it's not great for Bulls fans, but him going to New York would have been a much tougher reality for Jaden Ivey, somebody that's easy to pull for. Now he's a Piston, and the Bulls are just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. I think the world of that kid, so it's hard to watch. But listen, the Bulls, we know what their team is. We know who they are, and we know that they're going to try to keep that group together. There are still moves they can make. I don't think they're going to make I think you can scratch out the idea that they're going to pull off a Rudy Gobert move, or they're going to make some franchise-altering trade.
Weren't you surprised that the Jazz didn't make any of those moves last night?
Yeah, I was surprised.
I was a little surprised that we didn't see more movement around the league, across the league, with players – that were talked about, rumored about. You know, those are the kind of blockbuster deals that are made on draft night. And I thought that I was kind of missing that.
Where are the deals? I was laughing at some of the stuff as it was coming in. You know, the idea that there was a Woj bomb where he revealed the teams that Kyrie wants to go to. These are the teams I'm willing to go to. Like five of them right away don't have cap space to even take you on. They'd have to cut half their team.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So you listed like six or seven teams. I don't know. I mean, I think that guy's a hell of a player. We talked about it. That guy, his vision of himself does not match up with the way he's actually perceived by executives in the NBA.
Not the first time that Kyrie Irving would be accused of being somewhat delusional.
And I love this idea. And I don't know where I heard it, but just the rumor that, you know, if Durant's on the move, maybe he wants to go to Chicago. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That.
Good
is,
luck with that one.
That's kind of fantasy land. I did see the same photo that was making the rounds around social media of him in the Bulls jersey somewhere, and he does wear a Sox hat. I think we were reminded.
But don't we all?
Exactly. Don't we all? We are all Kevin Durant. Yeah,
good guys wear black.
That's going to be a story that dominates the offseason, I guess, the summer for NBA coverage. But I do think that when all is said and done, both those guys are going to stay in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think. Well, I just don't think. I mean, listen, Kyrie, he's trying to do is get more money, yeah. Get more years. Look, Kyrie, you opt in because, I mean, Kyrie is crazy enough to opt out. But if he opts out of his $30 million plus, whatever the hell it is, $40 million, who's going to give him that kind of money?
No, yeah.
Teams, I mean, he doesn't play.
Teams and organizations that where he does not want to be and who would be, I think, foolish to make that kind of commitment because he is not dependable. He has not been dependable. And in three seasons with the Nets, he played in fewer games than he did in two seasons with the Celtics. So he's trending in the wrong direction.
Final thought or just something. I know we're going to talk about Lonzo Ball as we move forward. I just wonder if it at all triggered you or signaled something to you that the training staff is going out to L.A. weekly to check in on him.
I mean,
he's not here. He's not trying to get keys to the Advocate Center because he wants to come
Shouldn't
in at midnight.
Shouldn't it be the other way around?
That's what I wonder.
You said trigger is my first reaction, my first response. And when I heard that, I did feel like, and as naive as it may sound, is that it should be the other way around.
I really feel that way.
For somebody who is earning what he is earning and has missed as much time as he missed last year, I would want to do everything within my power to be
around the organization.
To be there.
To be Billy Donovan running on the treadmill.
Lonzo, you mind locking up tonight? No, yeah. I got it, coach.
There was a great photo of Billy Donovan, you know, his draft prep was going on. He's working on the treadmill. And you thought, like, wow, the coach is going to be more prepared for the season than some of the players.
That guy never quits. I love that image. I love that photo because of what it represented in Billy Donovan. And then, so I think that was my first response as well and reaction when I saw that said about the plan with Lonzo Ball and he's out west. And certainly he's entitled to that, but still. You'd like to see something that gives you an idea that we're not going to have to worry about his knee every day
anything would do.
Yeah.
I just like anything. I'd like, that injury only takes – there was not even that. Is he going to be here for training? I hope so. Oh, my God, so do I.
I hope so. That did not sound definitive. It did not sound
confident.
It sounded
like hope.
It did. I think that when there's more confidence – and certainty when you're talking about the 18th overall draft pick you just added to your organization than there is to the point guard you're paying $21 million, that leaves you with a little bit of anxiety.
A little bit. We have a texter checking in, Kofi Coburn. He was not drafted. I don't know where he wound up.
Did he sign
somewhere? He must have. Where did he go?
Not sure.
He went to Utah. He signed a summer league deal with Utah.
Did he really?
Yes.
That's perfect.
Thanks, Brandon. Wow.
Then he can step in and they can get rid of the other guy.
He's going to help the Bulls after all.
There we go.
He's going to step in and start for Rudy Gobert after they trade him to the Bulls for whoever.
And go Ramblers. Lucas Williamson ended up going to the Clippers, I believe. Clippers. Yeah, that's
good for
him.
Congratulations to him.
You know, hey, play in Vegas, play in the summer league. You get a two-way deal maybe. Who knows?
Also, Brandon Fryer points out Charlie Moore, our guy with the well-traveled college basketball player, ends up in Detroit.
Oh, there you go.
With the Pistons.
See, they got a little bit too much at that position now, Charlie.
Well, but I think it gives him a chance
to take his time.
You know, play in the summer league, make an impression. You can go to the G League and still find a way to – you know, develop, improve, gain some respect, gain some notice, and still hang around for a while. I hope that Charlie Moore does that.
Did the Bulls sign anyone? Do we have the Bulls picking up any guys for the summer league team yet?
I am not aware of players.
Any local guys they might have brought in, huh?
I think that after they talked about and gathered and drafted Dalen Terry, they got together with their doctors and discussed Lonzo Ball. That's what it sounds like. There were two issues last night that were dominant topics, and I think those are the two issues, because when you draft a 6'7 point guard,
yep.
two guard,
yep.
wing, I mean, he's versatile.
He can play all three.
But he's a perimeter defender, and you have a team full of good perimeter defenders now.
All right, 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. We're going to bring in our guy, Dustin. We're going to get to the pick six next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How quickly did Dalen Terry become a player the Bulls can depend on to make an impact? What was your reaction when they picked him at number 18? And who else did you think they'd pick as the Bulls were on the clock?
Yeah, you know, I had no clue as to who they would pick. I'd heard a lot of talk about E.J. Liddell, and I told you that I like Blake Wesley personally, and I was kind of eyeballing a couple of other guys, the other kid from Ohio State. I, you know, let me tell you something. How quickly will Dalen Terry become a Bulls player that he can depend on? Is he getting into the rotation? Is that the idea? I hope it takes a little bit of time, honestly, because I don't want there to be an opening. So I think they envision him helping them and being that glue guy, and he can do some good things. We could sit here all day and talk about, you know, his length and his, you know, he has the reach of a 7-footer, and I mean, you know, all that stuff's out there. Great lateral quickness. He can defend. So if he can defend, I think Billy will find a place for him in the rotation. But I don't know that there is an opening in the starting lineup for this guy. I hope to God there isn't.
So 2 minutes before they made the pick, I tweeted out that E.J. Liddell was still on the board, and I had hoped that the Bulls would go that direction because of everything that we had said throughout the week building up to that moment. So I thought he was still in play. Turns out he dropped to 41. He went to the Pelicans.
Wow.
And that's quite a dip. That's yeah. quite a drop for a guy who has a lot of respect. So I guess that was my thought process. Not going to say that I had Dalen Terry on my board or anybody's imaginary, you know, board as they projected where the Bulls would go. This was a surprise. Now that they have him, I hope that he shoots well enough to justify the minutes. I hope that he shows him enough offensively that he can make that next step and be somebody that you can trust offensively that isn't going to be a liability and can't knock down a jumper when he's left wide open to knock down a jumper. So he has a potential and an opportunity to get into the rotation. In the new positionless NBA, I think he could play a role defensively if the Bulls are challenged defensively, as they could be. Also, let's get right down to it. It depends on health. Lonzo Ball's health.
True.
Let me start with the second question first. Who? Who is this guy? He was not on my radar. I didn't see him in mock drafts. My first reaction was, who? Mully, I want you to guess what my second reaction was, if you remember my love of Arizona basketball. I mean, the seven footer who doesn't play within 5 feet of the rim, who came from Arizona, who was a complete fraud for the Bulls and now resides in Cleveland. I think he's in Cleveland. I don't pay any attention to where he's at anymore. Anybody remember that guy?
Lowry
Marketing.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Let's put it, I hope he's better. I hope he's better than Markkanen.
How dare you disparage Michael Reinsdorf's alma mater?
I think I'm pretty sure that Markkanen can hit a three better than this kid.
That goes to the third part. I don't think you learn how to shoot at this level. Well, okay, see Derrick Rose. Okay, but I'm out of time.
No, but let's talk about it for a second.
Good point, we'll squeeze it.
I agree with what you're saying there, but we don't know if he can shoot.
Well, the general manager said he can't shoot, and he said he can't shoot.
Well, no, I think they said that he's...
I think we'll have to listen back to the sound.
Yeah, I don't think he said he can't shoot.
Let me just add something.
Maybe not can't, one but thought, though, not
if,
great at it.
If you're wondering if you can or you can't shoot on the night that you're drafted by an NBA team, chances are you haven't shown that you can yet.
But that's not why he was drafted.
He was drafted
for his defense and for his ability to distribute the ball and for his length.
And Dustin wanted a shooter, so yes. He's going to be
right.
Consistent there.
He prefers Steve Kerr, another Arizona Wildcat.
And that's a pick six.
Fight for the Bucks.
I don't know if I want Steve Kerr now, but I would have back then, yes. Does drafting Terry mean the Bulls are embracing continuity and counting on the core of staying healthy without disrupting it? How much better or worse do you feel about the 2022-2023 season if that's the case? Could that plan still change?
It could, but it's unlikely. I think this doesn't preclude them from doing anything big or bold, but I do think it leads you down a path and makes you think that they are embracing the continuity that AK has talked about. It makes you think that Dalen Terry is here as a protection against Lonzo Ball's uncertainty. It makes you think they're going to go into free agency and try to find a rim protector and try to find a shooter to space the floor. And this is a nod in the direction of running it back and the Bulls believing in this core and wanting to see it healthy, wanting to see if it can take that next step without having to break it apart piece by piece or taking one piece out of it like Vooch or Patrick Williams. They want to see what it would be like if Patrick Williams were healthy. If Vooch is more productive with a rim protector, you might get in free agency. And if this kid, Dalen Terry, can provide a little bit of everything coming off the bench and becoming part of the rotation.
He's the 18th pick in the draft. You know, it's unlikely you're going to build a team around him. You know, maybe he turns out to be a little bit of a kind of Jimmy Butler type where he comes into the league with defensive specialty and then we find out that, yeah, he cuts to the basket pretty well, and he's open a lot. And, he, you know, I believe in college, Dustin, just for your edification here, 35.6% from three, 34.4% on catch and shoots. That's not awful. That's not a guy that can't shoot. So maybe he can develop that into something he's more comfortable doing in the NBA. But I think you're right. I mean, I don't think he's – Steph Curry, but who knows? You know, you
I don't think he's Steph Curry.
No, and I'm not projecting that or thinking that, but they are embracing continuity. They are doing that thus far. I'm going to wait and make my final decision until I see what the team looks like when they're done with free agency, because maybe they go out and make some kind of move and add some sneaky good rim presence that would be good.
That would be neat.
Can I get edification in a sentence, please? It's like knowledge, right, for my information, FYI kind of thing?
I just was trying to...
I'm asking if I'm...
edify.
All right.
David just defined a word with the word as definition.
I think this screams. I don't really think it embraces. I think it screams continuity. Like, he's not going to upset the apple cart. He's going to be a great locker room guy. They could use some deep, like Billy Donovan, when Billy's not happy with the effort on defense, Billy's going to be able to call a timeout, put this kid in, and this kid's going to play his rear end off. That's what I believe. And there's nothing wrong with that on a Tuesday night in February. You know when that doesn't work? On a Saturday afternoon in late April, early
playoffs.
May.
The playoffs.
Right. This is not a guy that you're going to be counting on in the playoffs. It will help during the regular season. And I know you got to win close to 50 games or more.
You know when else that will help? Is when everybody, all the veterans can't practice and no one can go out there and this kid's going to go
he won't need a maintenance day.
He will.
This is a great regular season draft pick.
I agree.
Whether it's a playoff draft pick, we'll wait and see.
Right.
But by design, they will have all their players healthy for the playoffs, and they'll be able to take the next step. And by the way, to edify is to instruct especially, so as to encourage intellectual, moral, or spiritual improvement.
And as Howard Cosell used to say, the education of Dustin Rhodes continues. Oh, no.
This is one of the more bizarre stories and questions I can recall.
Lenin Sosa arrived on the south side for the White Sox due to Danny Mendick's horrific ACL tear.
Oh.
Tony La Russa said Sosa would play in one of the weekend games. Is Sosa an everyday player or a fill-in? And if he's just a reserve, why is he here? What is realistic?
Yeah, I like that Lenin. That's what I learned yesterday, and I apologize to him for not knowing that. But he's not Lenin, comrade. He's Lenin. So let's get that straight. Yeah. Okay, so I got to tell you, that Danny Mendick thing, that's a gut check, man. That rips you apart. I feel so bad for that guy because his time was finally here, and he was finally going to be a regular. And I was excited for him to see where his career would head. And now it's like, you know, I mean, he'll be back. I get it. He didn't tear the MCL. It's just the ACL. It's a terrible knee injury, and it's going to take him a year to get back from it. And I really feel bad for him. It's too bad. And he'll be on the 60-day IL very soon. He's not coming back, so that clears up a roster spot. Although, Aloy, they put Aloy on the 60-day. That was kind of weird. That's just a... They hadn't gotten to doing that yet. I think Aloy is eligible today off the 60-day if you count him up. So no big deal there. Look, I think that Lenin is a guy that is here because there is an opening and there is a need, and he is the best guy they had in their minor league system. They chose him over Yolbert Sanchez. They chose him because he had a really hot bat everywhere he's been, and we'll see. We'll see what he is, and he'll determine whether he can make a jump and whether he can stick around.
Of all the injuries the White Sox have suffered this season, and there's a long list,
yep.
I think that Danny Mendick was the hardest one for me to kind of absorb because to watch, just because of everything that he had done to get to the point where his absence matters. You're going to miss Danny Mendick based on how good he became. And that is a product of his hard work, of his commitment, and just... He is an extra grindy guy.
So stupid. Such a stupid injury.
And avoidable. I think that's the part that is really hard to take as well. So you feel for him and you feel for the White Sox because now they have to do something like bring up Lenin Sosa. And he struck out in his first at-bat last night. But, boy, that 9-pitch walk. Tony was still raving about the 9-pitch walk being the highlight of the night. I guess that is the highlight of the night when you're shut out by the Orioles. A 9-pitch walk by your new rookie would be the highlight of the night. He's going to get an opportunity. He'll play more than once this weekend, I would guess, now that Josh Harrison has that knot on his tricep.
Oh, my God.
Which
that
was very
awful.
Strange. So whether it's by design or necessity, I think we're going to see a lot of Lenin Sosa.
Well, first of all, I will agree, and this usually doesn't happen much in these segments, but all three of us would agree that was terrible and you feel really bad and gut-wrenched for Danny Mendick, and I hope that he gets back and he still can be grindy and be a piece for that team next year. Sosa should play tonight at second base. If he's here, then let's go. Let's see what he's got. He had the nice 9-pitch walk. He got in. He struck out the first time. That's not super surprising. I'm sure I'd strike out the first time at the big league level. He'd be nervous as all get up. So, but I do think he should start today. And if things go well today, he should start tomorrow. What's the point? What's your other option right now at second base? I mean, Lurie?
Lurie. Get him out of center field. Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Well, then what's your other option at center field? I mean, they got problems right
Sore
now.
Sore legs. That's it.
Is the benching, will the benching end? Is the benching done tonight?
Can I tell you
give
something?
Give him a massage. Put him out there.
I'm not joking. I've got sore legs. I think it might just be kind of I've adapted it from them. But no, I do.
You're projecting.
My legs are sore. My back hurts. Got a crick in my neck.
And you're tired.
And I'm tired. I'm like exhausted.
You know who's not tired? Dan Bernstein. He's getting extra sleep now.
I'm exhausted at a cellular level.
Thank God.
How do you know Bernstein's sleeping in? How do you know?
He must have mentioned it.
Oh, that's right. He tells you.
He's either sleeping in or fishing.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. That's a legitimate question. Bernstein sleeps with the trout.
What do you think of Tony La Russa's edict to certain players to take it easy and not overexert themselves? Does this approach, while understandable, given the injury outbreak, inevitably foster the kind of casual approach Steve Stone criticized with us right here on Thursday?
I think you have to wonder that. It certainly has an impact. This is not going to be the try-hard White Sox. They're not going to hustle their way to a playoff spot or a division title. In 1983, the motto was winning ugly. In 2022, it is trying barely. I think this is a team you have to wonder about their effort level. And if you wonder about a team's effort level, don't you have to wonder about everything? I don't understand this edict. I don't understand the idea. You don't want that coming from above. It's a bad message to send.
Did it come from God?
Tony, same thing. Or Jerry. I mean, one of those guys, they're saying, well, take it easy, guys. You know, we don't want you hustling. We don't want you trying to. I get what they're getting at because they have been so injured. But I don't think it's something that you want to say out loud. I don't think it's something that you want to reinforce publicly, privately, or verbally. Because this is something that's just understood. If you're often injured, then take it easy running down the first. People will understand. But don't set a tone, because what it does is it creates an atmosphere that is way too casual, and I think that's where the White Sox are. It's an understood thing that they're not going to try hard. If you're not going to try hard, how often are you going to win, and how are you going to be able to try hard when you actually do have to exert some effort? So, yeah, I thought this was...
When the whole damn team pulls up lame trying to run to first base, tell them to take it easy, Tony. That seems what's going on. Look at Jose Abreu. Whoever thought he'd just be a singles hitter? That's because if he hits a double or a triple, he can't keep going. He stops at first. If that guy hits a home run, someone's going to have to round the bases for him. He can just nod. They should do like a little, let him go. So let me get this straight. Abreu can't play first base because he's got sore legs.
Check.
So he has to play DH,
right,
even though he's got sore legs. Vaughn can only play first base because he's got sore legs, so he can't play in the outfield.
But don't move.
That's
don't
what
run.
He said.
Don't chase balls.
We know that Luis Robert, one of their best players, is out because he's got sore legs. What the hell's happening here? What? How old are we? Mother of God. I have no idea. I told you, I've got like a sore head from hearing about the sore leg. It just doesn't make a ton of sense. And you know what? This is life. You put things off and you put things off. Okay, now I'm going to get to it. Oh, no, I just caught COVID. I'm stuck in the house. If something can go wrong, sore legs, it happens because you buried yourself in a hole to begin with.
Trying barely, your 2022 Chicago White Sox.
That's going to get replayed a couple times. Talk about a T-shirt, David. Well done. I mean, 35th and Shields, you could get out there with a...
Hits, right? Trying barely, B-E-A-R-L-Y?
No.
Spelling's not my thing, Molly. I think we've been around each other long enough that we all know that. I don't want to support Tony La Russa, but I'm going to try here for a second. Was that advice specifically for
Vaughn,
like Andrew Vaughn?
Yeah.
And you want guys that bust their rear end all the time.
Yeah.
And I think they're at the point, they are like hanging by a, they have nobody left.
They're out of players.
There's nobody at Kannapolis.
There's nobody.
Okay, to go bring up. They're going to have to go like Johnny Cueto and find some guy. Like, they're going to have to bring in, like, God forbid, like Shane Reardon or Evan Thomas off the 16-inch softball team. I mean, that's where they're at right now. I mean, they are in, you know, somebody from the Chicago Dogs. I mean, that's where they're at. There's nobody to be had.
They run out of players.
So I think in that situation, because of that, I think it's okay to let Vaughn know, like, Vaughn, I love you, but please, for the love of all
lineup.
Things that are good in the world, keep yourself together.
Yeah, that's always a question, right?
That is always a question. Do you agree with David Ross that Justin Steele was badly done to by the Cubs' defensive failures on a day in which he allowed 5 earned runs, 6 total over 5 2/3 innings? Did striking out 8 and walking none make amends, even though he allowed 7 hits, including 2 home runs?
I got to tell you, I thought that there were a couple double plays that could have been turned. You know, pitcher, when you are allowing more outs, and it wasn't all kicking the ball when he was out there, but you weren't making the little plays to get him out of there. Let's put it that way. And I think that you didn't really, you know, the Cubs came back in that game. They came roaring back, and that was pretty exciting to see. And, you know, you can argue about who was safe at home and who wasn't, and how do you, was there replay involved? Should there have been, you know, how do you, it's a bang-bang play.
Could we please get into that later? Yeah, oh, my goodness gracious.
That was ugly stuff. But I do think that they obviously they did not get a, he did not get a lot of support early, and I'm talking both defensively and offensively, and that led to some of the issues. I think Justin Steele did okay for himself. I think you also have to judge these young guys a little differently. So Justin Steele, along with Keegan Thompson, they gotta be right. I mean, you can't give up on those guys.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Do not hurt your back lowering that bar because it is so low now.
David,
I love Justin Steele.
You gotta keep him going.
I like Justin Steele as much as the next guy, but I don't want to make an excuse here. He gave up 5 earned runs. He didn't get any help. 4 errors behind him, but he gave up 2 home runs. And I was surprised at how positive David Ross spoke about him after the game. Like, this was efficient, as good as his stuff was.
I know.
He gave up 5 runs.
I think he
in 5 and 2/3.
He doesn't want to lose the guy, and he knows he can't.
That's it. I think that is the point. They're trying so hard to be so positive in the midst of all this losing that they have to almost say things that aren't true and to see things that aren't there. And maybe there has been some progress, but it's not been steady with Justin Steele. I think he has a couple good starts and maybe a bad one. Then maybe another good one. But I do think the bar has lowered. But that's okay because that's where the Cubs are. Unfortunately, that's where we have find them. He did strike out 8. You know, the defense behind him is bad. And if the Cubs want to make Jonathan Villar available for the White Sox to pick up after he gets DFA'd, I don't think anybody would mind.
I would not mind at all because, again, that was the one. That was a double play. Extra outs.
Yep.
You're asking the guy, and the starting pitch has been taxed, bullpen's been taxed, 4 errors. You can't have 4 errors. Morel, Wisdom, Villar, and Nico Horner. Nico Horner had a nice series, by the way.
Yeah,
I like Steele. I like Steele not walking anybody. Listen, the bar is low, and that's like that was the victory. Like, no walks. Yes. 2 home runs. Not good.
Out at home.
And then again, I want to know, you know, in football for forever, we're all 3 of us love football. Forever, we didn't know what a catch was. That was a big thing.
Right.
What is a catch? I want to know in this call text, we can get into it later in 6 or 7 o'clock. What exactly is blocking the plate? Can we define what blocking the plate is?
Because
I'm not sure. It depends on the umpire. It depends on the situation. I want to know what exactly. You know what I think blocking the plate? What Wilson Contreras was doing at the end of the game, that was clearly blocking the plate. But otherwise, I'm not exactly sure what blocking the plate is.
Pick 6.
All right, guys. What are realistic expectations for the Cubs? They're down in St. Louis after losing 3 of 4 to the Pirates. How can a team build around pitching when 3 of the 4 young pitchers considered building blocks were just beaten by the Pirates? How many games are left in this season, by the way?
Too many. You know, I felt like this week we had a really good conversation with Jed Hoyer, and I felt like there was an awareness, a direction, and they know what's going on, and they were coming off of winning 2 out of 3 from the defending World Series champions. They were going into Pittsburgh, and they had the 4 young pitchers going, and then they lose 3 of those games. It's discouraging. Realistically, you go into St. Louis, and you hope to win a game. You hope to not get swept. I think that's what you hope for. That's what you want. You'd like to win 2 out of 3. You'd like to sweep them, but that's not realistic. How many games are there left? I think they're at 70 right now, so you do the math. There's 92 games left in this season, and they haven't even traded Wilson Contreras yet. They haven't even gotten rid of the next veteran to go and to try to get some prospects in return. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I found myself listening to David Ross rationalize Justin Steele's start and feel bad for him because this has just begun. And imagine how he's going to sound. It's June 24th. What's he going to sound like in August?
You know, I mean, you hit it. You touch them all, David, because to me, what do they do post Wilson Contreras? What do they do when they have their 22 purge, right? 2022 purge. But what do they do? How do you, what kind of news conferences are we going to hear? Oh, well, you know, he didn't walk. Hey, he picked the guy off. Don't worry about the 15 runs. I don't know. I can't even imagine how this is going to wind up going, because it is, it's scary to think about the number of games that are left. And, man, I mean, they've got some players. You know, who was it that I think Mark Grody was on, and somebody called in and wanted to DFA Daniel Norton. He's got to go. And I laughed. I was like, are people really keeping score like that? Are there really people out there that have a guy, I can't bear to look at this guy anymore, he's got to go? I think there's a lot of guys that it wouldn't matter who if they went. That's how bad it's getting. It's ugly, man.
92, you're right, David. 92 games. You're right, David. Hear that? 92 games left in the season. I've said this before the Sox series. I said it before the Yankee series. And I hate to say it again before the Cardinals series, especially on the road. I said it, I think, when they came, the Cardinals came here.
Yeah.
Just don't get swept. The bar is so low that every series I'm going. But I said the same thing.
Aren't they on Apple one of these games?
Tonight. Okay. So tonight's the local broadcast. No, I'm not. I can't watch it. I don't have Apple TV.
Good.
I am going to listen to Pat and Ron. I am going to have my TV. I hope I'm going to bring a TV outside tonight. Should be a nice night out. I'm going to bring the TV outside. I'm going to have the Stanley Cup. Okay, the cup is in the house. I'm going to have that on the TV, and I'm going to listen to Pat and Ron. So I'm going to watch the hockey with the sound off. I'm going to listen to Pat and Ron. I'm going to have a Mick Ultra. I'm going to keep the 20 pounds off, okay?
Great.
And that's what I'm going to do. I might have a burger wrapped in lettuce. That might be my dinner tonight off the grill. I've got it all planned out. But, you know, I went to an emergency podcast yesterday right after that game, after the Cubs dropped 3 or 4. I had a podcast immediately. I just couldn't take it anymore. It was David Ross asked, what was David Robertson doing in the game when he was in the game? Was he asked about that, David Haw?
I don't think he was.
I didn't hear it. It wasn't
on the
network where I watched
him. Was he going for a 6-out save? Because that was not the time to bring him in.
No, I think that was a very peculiar move. I don't know why he came in.
I need answers.
Yeah, David Robertson's pretty dependable, though.
6-out save?
Unless he's pinch hitting.
312-644-6767. We've got the extra point next, but we're getting to your calls. Mully and on the score.
Mully and Haw, live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Did Mark Eversley's tone responding to the question about Lonzo Ball's knee situation reveal bigger reason for Dalen Terry being picked at 18? How concerned are the Bulls really about this situation?
Currently working out in LA, still doing his rehab. We have sent our performance staff to see him every week and kind of track his progress. All reports are good. He's making progress, and you know, we're looking forward to seeing him in summer league later next month. That's something that we probably need to talk to the performance staff about. That's not a call that I can make right now. I can just tell you that he's rehabbing and he's making progress.
Do you envision him being a full 100% participant next training camp?
I certainly hope so.
Oh, I like that. That tone is scary, man. That tone, you know, again, I don't know why this training staff has to keep flying to LA, but, you know, God bless the Bulls for footing the bill on that one. But I would prefer to have the player here, frankly, under their watch on a daily basis. There's no information there, okay? They're like, we'll see him at summer camp. He's not playing at summer camp. It means he's going to Vegas. Is that what that means? I don't know what that means. I don't know whether this guy is going to be up and running by training. I certainly hope so. It's not, oh, yeah, he'll be fine by training camp.
I don't want to be cynical. I don't want to be jaded. But after hearing that, I do wonder if Dalen Terry's arrival was the biggest headline last night, or was it Lonzo Ball's uncertainty in terms of the Bulls' future?
Agreed.
Because this is a guy who, let's go back, January 28th, they told us Lonzo Ball was going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Then he had a bone bruise. Then he was out for the season. Then he played 35 games for $21 million. The Bulls were 22-13 with Lonzo Ball. They were 24-23 without him. He makes an impact. He makes a difference. That's not what this is about. His value to this team, his importance on the floor, is why the takeaway is what it is. because you didn't hear certainty in Mark Eversley's voice. You do see that they're sending the staff out once a week. Once a week. Who goes on those trips? Hey, who wants to go this week? Oh, I want to see L.A. You want to see L.A.? I love L.A. Let's go. I'm on the plane. I mean, that's ridiculous. Once a week to go check on Lonzo Ball, why doesn't he come here? I know that's probably overreacting, but it just underscores the importance of his availability and why he needs to start the season on time.
It's too hot in Chicago, David. It's cooler. There's not as much humidity out in L.A., I guess.
Everything's cooler in L.A.
Everything's cooler in L.A. We love it! It does send up a flare that this guy's not where they want him to be, and they're not going to admit that, but they're admitting it by doing what they did. This is cover, that they're providing cover for themselves with this pick, and it's really scary because I had mentioned this during the pregame show, guys. How many games did Ball and Willie, did they play a game together last year?
I don't think they were on the court together last year. There might have been three games. Maybe. Early in the
at
year?
The beginning of the yeah. season before Patrick Williams went down, it might have been a handful of games.
Right. But I'm just saying, we still right. don't know what that core group, what the ideal starting five would look like. It's kind of like the White Sox. You don't know what the starting nine, you know, including the pitchers that have been hurt too, you don't know what that looks like because it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know that Ball is going to be ready. And based on what I just heard there, that didn't make me feel confident that Ball would be starting game one for the Bulls this season.
Okay, Lonzo Ball comes into the NBA, at the age of 20, and he plays 52 games with the Lakers, 47 games the next year, 63 when he's in New Orleans, 55 in New Orleans, 35 in Chicago. Just a reminder, there are 82 games in a season.
Just
okay?
Yeah.
So the most he's ever played is 63.
And just to finish the thought on what Dustin said, and it's a really good point, Patrick Williams and Lonzo Ball together on the court lasted five games, and the Bulls were 4-1 at the beginning of the season when Patrick Williams went down. So it's a very small sample size. It's not enough to maybe base anything because the Bulls did start, they came out hot, and you liked everything that you saw. But having those two guys on the floor at the same time, that's got to be part of the grand plan and part of the continuity you want to embrace. But can you embrace continuity when you don't know if these players are going to be healthy enough to provide it? That's the problem. That's the biggest problem.
Listen, it's more than a problem. It's like a major dilemma. It is what's hanging in the balance with this team. It is extraordinary to think that not even counting the playoffs, Lonzo Ball would have been available for 410 games in the NBA, and he played in 252.
That's an amazing statistic right there, considering what the Bulls paid him, knowing that, I guess this was before his latest injury situation, but still, that's durability that he hasn't shown in the contract that really is $21 million for 35 games, pretty good rate.
All right, 312-644-6767. What do you think? Do you look at this as a guy that absolutely is providing some cover for Lonzo Ball, that you needed somebody that could play the game in that style? And certainly we saw that style out of Arizona, and this is a kid that can dish the ball and can run the floor and doesn't really make a ton of shots, but he knows where people are on the floor and does good things. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Lonzo Ball, 6'7 player, with some great defensive ability? 312-644-6767. Are you underwhelmed by the Bulls draft, or do you trust what they're doing? It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mully and Haw.
No better way to wake up in the morning than with you two.
Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Yeah, definitely inspired me. I feel like they're going to be a redraft in 10 years. And it's going to change up no matter where I get drafted.
You know, I like hearing Dale and Terry say that. I like the idea that you go in and you know that you've been underdrafted and you're going to show people and you got something to prove. There's nothing like a guy with a chip on his shoulder. Now, I don't know where he would be. Dustin said that to me this morning when we were talking, that had he stayed in college basketball and had like a big year, would he be coming out next year as a potential lottery pick? You know, I think, you know, if you're NBA, you better get to it.
Impossible to know.
Yeah,
because
that's just something I read. Sorry, that was the one positive, like right away, because I literally didn't know the guy. I threw his name in the Google machine. The first article I read, that's what the guy said. Like he was told, like, you'll get drafted, but if you stay one more year, you're going to be a lottery pick.
Well, you know, yeah. I don't think anyone can guarantee that, and I understand and respect whoever said that, but I do believe that sometimes with these NBA drafts, the unknown is what is most alluring about some guys, the potential. Maybe Dalen Terry stays in college and proves that he can't shoot the three, and then he drops, right? How about Kofi Coburn? He stayed in college and probably was exposed in a way that he wasn't previously, and that's with due respect to what he was as a college basketball player, but he dropped out of the draft, and he might have gone last year. I don't know. So I think it's impossible to know. I do like the fact that Dalen Terry comes to the Bulls with a little bit of an edge that you like and you want from your draft picks. He knows the 17 guys – drafted ahead of him, and I think that that's somebody who you can see the energy is obvious, the enthusiasm is palpable, and during his Zoom conference, he kind of jumped through the screen, figuratively.
I mean, the kid was shot out of a cannon, half man, half espresso. There was no way that he wasn't, and when Eversley came down, and we've seen these, and we know this kind of player from the NFL draft. He basically said he was going to start driving overnight or whatever. You know, you got the feeling.
It's a long way.
He was going to run
Tucson.
Here. Exactly.
It's a long way from Tucson.
He's ready. He's ready to go.
Yeah. And I do also like the fact that you know, when he talked about his workout with the Bulls.
Yep.
He got done. He got back. He called his agent. He said, you know what? I want to be there. Something about the culture. Maybe it was interacting with Alex Caruso in the locker room that he referenced. But he said, I want to be part of that organization because of the vibe that he felt, because of the feel that he had. And he fits.
Yeah,
he does.
He clearly does. 312-644-6767. We should let you know the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. Over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices and BetQLnetwork.com.
Let's try Tom. Tom's in Algonquin. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Molly, Mike, and David. Thank you for taking my call. And also, Mike, thanks for the references on the amount of games per season that Lonzo Ball has had in his career.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not that hard to look up, but I think the significant part is that 61% of the possible games he could have played in his career is the number he's hit. In other words, he's missed pretty much 40% of his career in 5 years.
And one of the most important abilities is availability, Tom.
That's right.
And thanks for the phone call. And Lonzo Ball comes, you know, he came to the Bulls last year. I felt like that was a difference-making move. He was a guy that they wanted and were convicted in getting. Cost him a draft pick.
Yes, it did.
They were so driven and focused on getting Lonzo Ball, they tampered or were accused of and found guilty of.
Yeah.
So
lost their second round pick.
That's why they didn't have a second round pick last night, because of their fixation with Lonzo Ball. So there are a lot of reasons why he's here, high expectations, and now you hope that he's healthy enough to meet them this season, because there's a lot riding on his availability.
Oh, boy. I mean, look, I'm sure that I'm not sure. I think the idea that he had this knee and that, you know, there was a bruise and that he needed a procedure and he elected to have the procedure, and it was the same knee where he'd previously had an ACL, or was it the other knee? I mean, you just go on and on with it, and then you kept thinking, well, when Alonzo Ball comes back, and, well, they'll be better, and hopefully he can come back a week before the playoffs start so he can get acclimated. It's taken a little longer. We thought he'd be back already. What? He's not playing in the playoffs? Like, that hurt.
It did hurt.
That hurt.
It was because of the way the expectations were raised at the beginning of the season. You didn't quite know how the Bulls fit together a year ago at this time. We weren't quite sure after they did the sign and trade with DeMar DeRozan how they would fit together at the beginning of the season. And then they went 22-13.
Yeah.
And Lonzo Ball helped us believe that the Bulls were capable of being one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. And then he got hurt, and then he went away, and then they struggled. And I think that his value was underscored. And so that's why this is so important, why we're talking about him this morning to the degree that we are.
Right.
But let's get back to the draft for a second, because I felt like the first round, very interesting. We'll continue to talk about this. It started to turn to me. I'm curious what you think. When the Sacramento Kings did what the Sacramento Kings do, they passed up the gimme. They missed the layup. They took, with due respect, Keegan Murray, who's a great player from Iowa.
Yeah.
Great player.
Don't diss him.
But
they left Jaden Ivey on the board.
He's on the board for the Pistons or the Pacers right there, and the Pistons pounced.
And, you know, again, I think that you can talk about the makeup of their team and how they have guards and they have, you know, they needed different than what they were. I always go back to, you know, if you have Michael Jordan sitting on the board and you say, you know what, that would be a redundant pick because we already have Clyde Drexler. That's how you get in trouble in the NBA. That's how you get trouble in the NFL. There is no such thing as a redundancy. You get the best players you can, and if you have three of the best five players in the league, you win titles.
You always find room for talent. You can always find a way to fit somebody like that in. So let me ask you this, moving forward, and we can continue to talk about this when we come back. You said something earlier in the show that kind of stood out, or maybe it was before the show. You look at the Pistons, and you look at the talent they're compiling and the direction they're headed. How do you feel about the Pistons' young talent and the Bulls' kind of veteran collection and running it back? I mean, are the Pistons a threat to the teams at the lower tier of the Eastern Conference playoff teams? You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I know exactly what you mean.
Are they nipping at the heels of teams like the Bulls to the point where you start to think like, oh, boy, I'm envious of the young talent they have compared to the young collection of talent the Bulls have?
Yeah, my envy didn't start until the fifth pick in the draft. Then it went into overdrive,
right,
and then they jumped back in. And then it really got – I got very what's the word?
Green?
Green with envy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, I told you, the comp now is the Celtics for them, which is absurd to say. And it might take a while. Here's hoping. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.